This is the reading of God's word. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We ask that you will be with your people who are hearing of your word, and that you will be with your servant who is preaching your word. That your word will be preached correctly, and that your word will be understood by your people correctly. And when your people hear your word, and through your word, when they meet Jesus Christ and see what he has done, let us rejoice in the salvation that you have accomplished through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are looking at this passage for the second time, and we are looking at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 20, story of Jesus' resurrection. And we had asked this question last Sunday, what is the meaning of his resurrection? You have witnessed his resurrection through his word. Yes, we weren't there 2,000 years ago. But I have witnessed his resurrection through his word. And now the question is, what is the meaning of his resurrection to you? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 14, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain." 1 Corinthians 15, 17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, "If we have hope in Christ in this life only, then we are of all men most to be pitied." If there is no resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is so hard to even imagine that, then we are still in sin and will be judged by God forever and ever in hell. If there is no resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, then there is no heaven for you and for me. Only this world is for us then. Then we are the most pitiful people in the whole world. But brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. He lives. Thus he has witnessed to the whole world that he is the Son of God. He is God. He is holy and righteous and has no sin. Through His resurrection from the dead, we see clearly how the Father is so pleased with Jesus Christ and what He has done, what He has accomplished for His people. When we see Jesus Christ risen from the dead, we see the God the Father accepted with pleasure all the works that Christ has done for us. His resurrection witnesses to the reality that the problems of all our sins are completely and perfectly solved. It witnesses to the reality of our resurrection from the dead. Romans 6:5, for if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Yes, His resurrection clearly shows us that there is heaven, that there is a place where all the resurrected of God will live forever and ever with Him. Resurrected from the dead into glorious reality clearly shows that there is this glorious place where you and I who are in Christ will live forever and ever. And as we have seen last Lord's Day, the new creation has begun. You have witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Even as we worship Him together right now, brothers and sisters, you are meeting the resurrected Lord. Oh yes, we cannot see Him with our physical eyes. The Bible clearly teaches us that when we worship Him, that we have arrived in Mount Zion, heavenly Jerusalem. And in His throne sits our resurrected Lord. You have come to Him. What is the meaning of His resurrection to you? And because of it, what is now your understanding of who you are and what is your eternal reality? You cannot be like the disciples we saw last Sunday. These disciples, after they witnessed the empty tomb, verse 10 in our chapter, it says, so the disciples went away again to their own homes. They simply went back to their homes. You cannot live your life like that any longer, as if nothing has happened. As if nothing has changed. As if it has no meaning whatsoever to you. Because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you understand what has changed? Do you understand who you are in Christ? You cannot live like Mary either, that we saw her last Sunday. She cries outside the tomb. Even though she should be rejoicing because her Lord is resurrected from the dead, she cries, for she does not know the truth. She doesn't understand. You cannot live your life any longer as someone who does not know the truth and cry Do you remember Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Because if she knew the truth, she will be rejoicing." Do you understand, brothers and sisters, all has been changed because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. All is new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Or in other translation, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Do you understand these new things that have come for you? Jesus Christ comes to Mary. When Mary did not know the truth, Jesus comes to her to teach her as her teacher, Rabboni. Here we are reminded of a story that we find in the book of Genesis. John chapter 19 verse 41 says, "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid." It says that Jesus' tomb was in a garden. Thus, Mary is meeting her Lord in a garden. The first Adam in Genesis. First Adam in the Garden of Eden. After sin, this first Adam betrays his wife. He does not love his wife to the end. He does not protect his wife. Genesis 3:12, the man says, the woman. See, when God came to him after his sin, this is what he says to God. "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." The first Adam puts the blame on his wife. But what do we see here in John chapter 20? The last Adam, or the second Adam, Jesus Christ our Lord, he too comes to his wife, to his bride, his church. And Mary representing that church in this story. But this husband, Jesus Christ our Lord, he doesn't betray her. He died for her. He loves her to the end. He never forsakes her nor leaves her. And right now, brothers and sisters, you too are meeting your eternal husband. As we worship our God, risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you see your husband? He loves you so much. He loves you, his bride, so much. The disciples, they still don't understand. They still don't get it. And it is not just John or Peter, as we seen last Sunday. All of the disciples are in the dark. Verse 19a, "So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Because they are afraid, they are hiding. They are afraid of the world. They are afraid of the darkness. The world has killed their Lord, and they are gathered by themselves, and they are very afraid. These disciples gather by themselves, powerless, afraid, and confused. What do we do now, they say? How are we going to live now? Jesus Christ, their Lord, has conquered the world, conquered the darkness and even death, and is now resurrected from the dead, but His disciples are afraid. They have forgotten the words of their Master, John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Their faith is so weak and feeble. This faith is problematic. When do we see the problem with faith? John and Peter, do you remember we read verse 1 through 10? They came to empty tomb, but it says they believed. But in verse 9 of chapter 20, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. When do we see the problem with faith? First, when people do not know, when they do not understand the Bible. There's a problem with Peter and John. Why? Because they do not know. They do not understand the Bible. And in John chapter 9, a story of Jesus healing a blind. The parents of the blind tell the Jews that they do not know much what had happened or who has healed their son, even though they knew. Why? In chapter 9, verse 22, this is what it says. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Again, problem. When? When people are afraid of this world. Chapter 2, John chapter 2, verse 23. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he, Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name. Here it says many believed. But again, it's not good faith. Observing his signs which he was doing, but Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Here is very clear, even though it says they believed, Jesus did not consider that as genuine faith. When there's a problem here, when people depend on their sight not the word of God. We looked at three situations when there's problem. When people just do not know the Bible. When people are afraid of this world. And when people depend on their sight rather than the word of God. That was the problem which Thomas had. Chapter 20, verse 25b, Thomas says, Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unless I see, I will not believe, he says. Jesus says this in chapter 20, verse 29b, blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. And you are these people. You are blessed. You weren't there 2,000 years ago. But just by the word of God, you believe. And you're not like Thomas, who demand to see so that you may believe. So here, the disciples, including Thomas, even though first Sunday night, Thomas was not there, but the second Sunday night, he comes. So you put it together, including Thomas, these disciples, they're afraid of the world, right? And they don't understand the Bible. Bible says so. And Thomas, like Thomas, I will believe if I see. They are gathered together. A picture of darkness. What or whom do we really need to be afraid of? God. But people do not fear God. They fear this world. They fear the opinions of this world about them. But they do not fear God. They fear failure. They fear many, many things, but they do not fear God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him, God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Because of our sins, God's judgment and His curse, we should fear that. This is the most frightening. There is nothing more scary, there's nothing more terrifying than this. But look at our passage. That same God that we should fear, He appears to these pathetic disciples. In verse 19b, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, and listen very carefully what Jesus says to them, peace be with you. To these sinners, peace be with you. When you read that verse, do you scratch your head? Because it just doesn't make any sense to you. Should not it be just judgment and curse be with you. Because they're sinners. Oh, the amazing grace of God. Peace that Jesus is speaking of is not the peace that the world is speaking of. It is peace with God. Our God is the God of peace. The true peace comes only from God, who is the only foundation of true peace. The world also speaks of peace, but because of sin, there is no true peace in the world. And yet, the world continues to speak of it as if it has it. But the fact is, Romans chapter 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 11, they heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. And this is what the sinner's reality really is. Sinners only deserve God's wrath, His judgment and curse. But brothers and sisters, I invite you to see the amazing grace of God to these sinners. These pathetic people, just like you and me, doesn't know the Bible, doesn't understand the Bible, afraid of so many things in this world. We demand sight. To these sinners, God says, what? Peace be with you. Every time we begin our worship, God says in salutation, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You heard that today. This brings so much joy to me, and it should also to you. Because of our sins, God should say to us whenever we gather, because of our sins, He should say to us, judgment and curse be with you. We deserve truly His judgment and curse, but that is not what He says to us. That is not what He says. Even from the Old Testament, God has promised this peace to His people. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Did you hear? This peace that God promised from the Old Testament, this peace comes to us through this child. This child who was born 2,000 years ago. But the same book, Isaiah 53 verse 5 says this. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. That verse I'm reading from NIV. And he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. Oh, I read the wrong verse there. Anyway, you get the point. This peace of God comes through this child, but Isaiah 53:5 says the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Yes, this peace came to us through his suffering and death upon the cross. This peace comes to us because our Lord Jesus Christ received on the cross all the judgment and curse that our sins deserve. That peace is now upon you. In Luke chapter 2 verse 14, speaking of his birth, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. This Jesus Christ says to disciples in our passage, peace be with you. He says to us also, to us who do not understand the Bible, who are afraid of this world, who sin continuously, he says to you, peace be with you. John chapter 14 verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, peace of whether things on earth or things in heaven. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you know this peace? This peace of God. This peace with God. The hell is a place without this peace. But you are not of that place. You are in heaven. And in Romans 14 verse 17b says, heaven is described as the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You have perfect peace with God and also with one another. Do you understand that, brothers and sisters? Even as you fight with your brothers, you have this peace with them in Christ. We do not accomplish this peace ourselves. Jesus has already accomplished it for us. Our job is to witness what Jesus has accomplished. Our job is not to accomplish that peace ourselves. You need to understand, whether you do not witness this well, very well, you still have this peace with one another in Christ Jesus. Not to do so is sin, but that does not mean you destroyed it. You need to repent and do a better job witnessing what Christ has already accomplished. And you have peace with God. God is no longer angry at you. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you enjoying this peace with God? There is no longer fear. Jesus says to you, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. take courage. Jesus Christ, your Lord, my Lord, has risen from the dead. Even death is not something that we fear any longer. Death is gain. We saw that last Lord's Day. Now the tomb for you and for me is the gate of that glorious place, our eternal home. Even when my breath is no more, I am given another breath. Verse 22, and when he said this, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Even when my breath fails, I'm not afraid. I am given another breath that will never fail. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, are you afraid in this world? Are you? What are you afraid of? Do not be afraid. You do not have to be afraid of anything, not even death. Verse 20b, the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you are meeting your Lord Jesus Christ. You are meeting your resurrected Lord even as you worship Him today, right now. And He says to you, peace be with you. Do you see Him? Do you hear Him? Peace be with you. The darkness must go away. The fear must go away. For Jesus Christ, risen Lord, is with us. First John chapter 4, verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Let me finish by reading Romans 8. I'll start from verse 31. Romans 8. 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God? Who also intercedes for us? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor the things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things nor anything that you might fear in your life, or anything that you might face in your life, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Don't be afraid. Your risen Lord says to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, peace be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this peace that you have brought to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we are sinners who truly deserve your judgment and your curse, but because of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, for what he has accomplished for us, we have peace with you. That you pour out your love, peace of heaven to us, your people. Oh Father, let us enjoy this peace as we enjoy you, our God, as we worship you. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.